This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a lane! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, the Oregon Live and Oregonian recruiting expert players, coaches, and fans follow.
Ooh-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Quick start today, Will Darkins.
That's on you, man.
You know what? If people get me talking on shoes and Jordan shoes and Air Force Ones and stuff like that, you don't know what's going to happen. I'm not even sitting down yet. I don't have my cord all set up.
Take this opportunity to do a squat.
A squat? Why?
You're supposed to fit in a certain amount of squats during your day to be a healthy, functioning human being.
I did squats today and lunges.
What?
Yeah. I'm back in the gym.
What kind of workout bro are you?
Hang out by myself. I do not talk to anyone ever at the gym. I listen to my AirPods and just get my lift on. Listen, I'm not impressing anyone right now. I'm just going to get the baseline back, so that I can get back to eventually someday lifting like I used to, but that's a long way away.
So when somebody else wants to use a machine that you're like just about done using, or you want to use someone else's machine, are you the kind that
I'm
like,
not a hover bro.
Oh, you're hover. Like,
I'm not a hover bro.
Oh, you're not. Like you won't take out, you won't leave the earbuds in.
Oh,
and
no,
like,
I'll
just
take
sit.
Them out. I'll take them out, but I'm not. My mom and stepdad go to the gym and they have friends from the gym that come over for dinner and stuff, or they go out for drinks that they met at the gym. That is so beyond any. I've gone to the gym off and on, although I went for a series of years, like 6 days a week, 5 days a week. I never once made a friend at the gym. That sounds so terrible, but it's true. I never made a friend at the gym. That's not what I'm there for. I'm there to lift, bro.
You're there to pound iron.
No, but I'm not one of those weird dudes who like mean mugs and flexes either. If somebody's like, hey, how many more sets do you have? I got two more sets. I'll try to hurry it up. No worries. But I'm not there to make friends. Do you go to the gym? You must go to the gym and at least run.
Oh, of course I go to the gym. I do my cardio stuff and everything. Now, the problem that I have at the gym is that I like to get onto the treadmill, and I work out pretty early in the morning. And if I had a dinner the night before that was full of fiber or a lot of vegetables, I have the problem of wanting to fart on the treadmill. And there's people that'll walk behind me and they'll sit and like stare at their phone and like go through
stuff.
Why
are people sitting right behind you? That's on them. Don't sit behind people at the gym.
Well, they're standing right behind you playing on their phone. And I realize that's okay. But like, dude, I'm about to fart and like the wind turbine from the treadmill will blow it back to you and you will know who it is. And we'll both be in an embarrassing situation.
So the moral of the story is, Nemec, if you don't want to have things digress to fart talk pretty quickly, get in the room, sitting down, seated, ready to go before the music starts.
It's on you.
Because we got to farts very quickly. And I don't think we've ever gotten to farts before in this show, ever. We try to keep it pretty sportsy.
Dude, thank goodness we got to farts.
Thank goodness we got.
I was waiting.
We got to farts. In the class of 2021, Seven McGee, the nation's number two running back, committed to Oregon, had a chance to talk to him this week, and he mentioned that he is considering reclassifying into the class of 2020 and being part of this recruiting class. It doesn't happen often. JT Daniels, the USC quarterback who's now out for the year, seemingly. Have they officially announced that he's out for the year with a torn ACL and torn
meniscus? Yeah, I think it's all but certain.
He's done for the year, but he did it, and obviously the injury has nothing to do with it, but he did it. Seven's got a long way to go as far as the curriculum. I think he's fine in good standing right now. It's just that he's deciding to do it late. Sometimes guys will decide to put themselves in a position, especially quarterbacks, will put themselves in a position where they take accelerated an accelerated course load starting as freshmen. So they spread out that full extra year of curriculum into 3 years. So they'll do some summer school that takes care of a few terms, and then they maybe take a class here or there, and they're good. He's deciding to do this as he enters his junior year with an entire extra year's worth of school to do. That's going to be tough. It's a double workload. Depending on the high school he's at, that's dang near impossible. My senior year in high school, nerd alert, I was a full-time student at Portland State University while at Clackamas High School. So I was able to do both, but it's rare. You have to have as an athlete, you have to kind of have a rare mindset to do that. I don't think it's going to happen for him. And the other thing when you look at this is, especially for running backs, look at C.J. Verdell. I like C.J. Verdell at Oregon. I still feel like he has a hard time running through arm tackles. Similar build, by the way, to Seven McGee. Seven McGee, 5'10", 185 pounds. And I think C.J. Verdell's a great running back. He still gets brought down by arm tackles. I feel like he just needs to get a little bit stronger to physically get through that next level. I wonder if it's not just better for Seven, as good as he is in football now, the number two running back in the nation, to just focus on getting stronger and more physical for another year.
Well, he might believe that if he gets there faster, then he'll be able to develop faster. And I think it's kind of part of this whole idea that a lot of players and a lot of recruits have now, which is they're seeing dudes like Andrew Luck and dudes like Rob Gronkowski have these shorter career spans. And they say to themselves, look, if my football future is only going to be prime that 5-year window, if at all, then I need to get there as fast as I possibly can and make as much money as I possibly can, especially for a running back.
Well, you're definitely right. I mean, I think that's a factor. I'm just thinking of it from the student standpoint, the body standpoint, and the curriculum standpoint. I think it's going to be tough. And again, he's not somebody who has done the extra work yet. You know, it's something that he plans on doing. Making up a full year, doing a full year's worth of course load on top of a full junior year, is a lot to ask of a kid. And I don't think he gets it done. He's going to try, but I don't think he gets it done. And really, when we look at it, look at even the very, very best freshmen in the nation. And we don't have to look very far. Look at the Oregon Ducks recruiting class last year. A number of big-time players, including obviously Kayvon Thibodeau, the number one prospect in the nation, he had the full 4 years. He gets to Oregon, and you can kind of see that there's going to be an adjustment period. And we talked about that. I don't know how many times on this show that, listen, we've seen the number one player in the nation be a defensive lineman 5 or 6 times in the history of ESPN's rankings, which is where Kayvon Thibodeau was the number one prospect in the nation. All of them had a year that was interesting, where they showed flashes. None of them had an all-conference year. I think the very best freshman year out of all those guys was something like 40 tackles and 6 sacks. Very best.
Pretty good.
Which is still a pretty good year for a defensive end, freshman defensive end. Almost all of them on the other side of things, on the other side of the coin, almost all of them except one had a monster season as a sophomore. Almost all of them were not only all conference guys. I think 4 of the 6 were all American level or flat out won defensive lineman of the year, the national award. It just takes that long to get adjusted strength-wise to develop secondary pass rush beyond bull rush or I go around you. And Kayvon Thibodeau has been able to do that his whole career. And now he can't do it, and he has to have some secondary moves. He's got to be smarter and with his hand placement. He's got to be better with his leverage. All those things come into play over just, I'm bigger and stronger than you, get out of my way. It's a different level, and he found that out in week 1 now. Nowhere near calling him a bust. Again, this is what we talked about saying would happen, that he would start slow, but that he would develop over time. And I think Oregon fans who were hoping for a multi-sack first game were probably disappointed. But if you listen to the show, you knew there was a good chance he might, you know, have 4 or 5 tackles, a tackle for loss. And that's going to be about that. It just takes time.
Well, not only that, but you got to imagine that at some point they're going to want to have him as a stand-up DN and also a linebacker too. I mean, this is a guy who you could tell out there when he was chasing Bo Nix and he was cutting around corners, there were those flashes of what a lot of Oregon fans had as their expectations, which is, dude, you're the number one recruit in the nation. I want to see something from day one. I remember Jonathan Stewart. He kind of was showing something from day one. I remember one of his first games, he had that punt return for a touchdown. And everybody kind of thought, oh my gosh, this is the guy. And it's different with the DN, and it's different on the defensive side of the ball than it is on the offensive side of the ball. But I think, you know, you're exactly right. As you go forward and as he develops with the team, you know, we're going to see little smarter play out of him.
Well, Jonathan Stewart, his first ever touch at Autzen was a kickoff return for a touchdown. The game before that was his opener, and they played Houston. And he had a carry that made SportsCenter's top 10. It wasn't a super impressive game for him. I think he had something like 7 carries for 63 yards, which was really good. But he got like 45 of it in one carry where he first got hit at 10 yards downfield, and then he carried 7 dudes. I'm sure you can YouTube it. And carried the pile something like 15 to 20 yards. This scrum. Do you know the play I'm talking about? It was an unbelievable play, and foreshadowed what turned out to be a monster career at Oregon for him.
Dude, I think Jay Stu is probably the best recruit they got, bar none, for like the value. I just feel, I know you could go Marcus Mariota. And
I
say
think
that.
For the value, you go Marcus, a 3-star to a Heisman.
But at the same time, like, they got Jonathan Stewart and he lived up to everything. And it just sucked because he played during a time where they didn't necessarily like get to the highest of highs.
I think you're right in terms of expectation and delivery, that he might have been that guy. And it was so early. Like, even when Oregon got DeAnthony Thomas, they were already landing high-level 4- and 5-star. They'd already had a Cameron Colvin come in, who disappointed, but he was a 5-star receiver. So not that it was expected that Oregon would get a 5-star, especially DeAnthony Thomas, who was like a legacy USC guy. Everybody thought he was going to USC. But Jonathan Stewart committed in a time when it was really rare and somewhat shocking for Oregon to get 5-stars. And so there was automatically this expectation that any 5-star, and now Oregon fans a little wiser to it because they've had several and some pan out and some don't. There was a feeling in the fan base that we got a 5-star running back. He's going to be magical. And then he actually was. I mean, he was phenomenal. I still say bang for your buck recruit DeAnthony Thomas is number one, not even necessarily for what he did on the field, which was obviously spectacular. But when you talk to kids for the 2 or 3 years after that, it opened up all of the southern part of California, where they suddenly said, I don't have to go to USC. It's okay. He made it okay for kids to walk away from a USC scholarship and go to Oregon. Before that, they just all stayed, all of them. It was just really, really hard to get a guy to leave Southern California and go to Oregon or Washington. And when DeAnthony Thomas did that, not only did he make it okay, he also quickly made it cool. And suddenly Oregon, a number of elite athletes were talking about wanting to go to Oregon to be like him.
Do you think Jay Stu would have done as well in the SEC?
I don't think any running back in a more physical conference is going to do better, especially with his injury issues. I think he would have gotten hurt a little more. And it's the reality of a ground and pound style versus kind of a more open West Coast offense back then in the Pac-12. I think he would have been productive. I think you still would have said, this is a great running back. I think he still would have had first round potential, and somebody would have had to take him in the third because, oh man, he got hurt like 3 years in a row, little dings throughout his career in the SEC, whether it be Alabama or Auburn or whatever. It's a good question. I do wonder sometimes, to me, that would factor in. And I've talked to Jaden Navarette, the 4-star athlete. He's a really good outside linebacker. He was committed to LSU. And I've always thought, if I'm a linebacker or maybe I'm a receiver, running back, I'd rather play in the Pac-12. I don't want to get all banged up with a more physical smash mouth in a phone booth style. And Jaden Navarette's the only recruit who honestly told me openly, I ran it as a Q&A because it was so interesting, who talked about, I don't want to get beat up like that. My future is better if, one, I show off my versatility in pass coverage as a run stopper and then going after the quarterback. So I get to be more versatile in a Pac-12 scheme because you have to do more. But I also think I'm going to save my body. I don't want to hit 230-pound running backs 15 times a game. And he wasn't being soft about it. He's not afraid of contact. It was literally like hashtag business decisions. He thought it made more sense to showcase what he could do. And I'm surprised that doesn't happen more. If I were the Pac-12, I'd honestly try to almost market it that way in a way.
Like, hey, this is your fast track to the NFL without injuries?
No, I mean, anywhere you play football, you're going to deal with that. But like, it's not as physical. It's just not. The SEC is more physical. They have more plays that are those in, you know, between the tackles, 4-yard runs. The Pac-12 wants to air it out more. If I'm a corner, I'd rather play in the Pac-12. I showcase my talent more. You know, if I'm a running back, I might save my body a little bit running zone read over we're running off tackle left, off tackle right, halfback dive. You're going to get beat up. That hurts. running that offense hurts.
Well, not only that, but think about, like, dude, don't you want to go live on the West Coast? Like, that's why I think it would be so sweet that if you were that high of a recruit to pick somewhere like Cal Berkeley, you know?
Yes.
Like, even Eugene, Oregon, compared to the South, I think would be a better place to live for 4 or 5 years of your life, depending on if you redshirt, than, you know, friggin' Alabama or Louisiana or any place like that. I mean, but that's what separates dudes like me and dudes that are like top 10 recruits who know that once I get on the field, I'm going to be just gathering tape for my NFL career.
Right. That is the difference. Yeah. You're thinking of lifestyle.
Let me tell you something. I could have gone to the SEC, Andrew. I could have.
Vanderbilt?
Kentucky?
50-50.
Where would you go, Vanderbilt or Kentucky?
Oh, without a doubt, Vanderbilt.
Really?
Vanderbilt's like the Stanford of the SEC. It's a high academic institution.
Yeah, but Kentucky, you could at least go to the basketball games and they'd be fun.
I'm going to Vanderbilt's got a good basketball program.
Do they?
At times. I mean, it's not Kentucky.
No.
It's not Kentucky. But they're pretty good. I might be getting Purdue and Vanderbilt mixed up in basketball.
You could.
It's possible.
It's the colors.
It's possible.
The black and gold.
It's possible. Darius Clemens is maybe the top offensive recruit in the state of Oregon in the class of 2021. Westview is having their team dinner right now before their first game of the year tomorrow. We are going to try to have him on. He's going to try to get away from the team and do a quick interview if he can. Darius Clemens already offers from Michigan State and Oregon State. Took a visit last weekend to Oregon State. This weekend, he's heading to Oregon. We will ask him about all of that and more next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. It is really, really early in the recruiting process for the class of 2022. But that has not stopped Westview wide receiver Darius Clemens. He's picked up offers from Michigan State, Oregon State, a number of other programs. He visited Oregon State last week. This week, he's headed down to Eugene to check out the Ducks. He joins us now to talk about his recruitment and his Westview team. Darius, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Did I pull you away from a dinner? Were you like mid-bite? Or did you finish dinner?
I wasn't mid-bite. I was just chilling with my guys. It's all great.
Okay, let's get to this first, because Westview's an exciting program. There are a number of kids, a number of athletes at that program who have a chance to be big-time prospects. Who are three or four of your teammates who you're really excited about? Obviously, everybody knows about you. You've got the offers from Michigan State and Oregon State, but I know you wanted to give some teammates a shout-out, so I wanted to give you the floor just to start this thing. Who stands out at Westview?
I think first is definitely London Smalley, just especially from my standpoint, him being a senior receiver. And starting last year, he kind of took me under his wing and helped me learn the playbook and stuff. So that was really cool. I look up to him a lot. And I'd say Aaron Jones for sure. He's a sophomore too. He's looking to have a big impact on our team this season and help us win some games. And someone on our O-line, Mills, he's our center. I think he's made huge strides this offseason as far as like his game goes. And I think he's going to help our O-line take the next step they need to take. To help our team take the next step this year.
I first saw you, I think you were going into your eighth grade year, and you were a good football player. You're really good, like middle school football player, but you were really young and you were going and competing against the top, you know, juniors and seniors in Oregon. And at times you looked a little lost, but I definitely saw flashes of you being talented. What was the thinking going to that stuff so young? Were you intimidated? Were you nervous? Or did you feel like it was a learning opportunity? And yeah, sometimes I'm going to look out of place, but overall it's better for me in the long run.
Well, a lot of the time I didn't want to go. It was my dad making me go.
Okay.
Telling me like it'll make me better in the long run. So I just kind of put my head down. I was like, I'm here now. I might as well try my best. And I don't think as so much of me getting discouraged is kind of just like, dang, like, man, I hope I can be at where they are one day, you know?
And you are. And not only that, you're going into your sophomore year and you're already, are you 6'2 or 6'3 officially?
Like 6'2 and a half.
Okay, we'll go with 6'2.
Official measurement.
I'm glad you're honest. 6'2 and a half, 180 pounds, and you've run a 4.49 40-yard dash. So you are considered a 4.4 speed guy. You know how important that is. I don't know if the listeners know. If you're as big as you are and can run a 4.4, that's going to really pique the interest of college football programs. How big a deal did that become in your recruitment where as soon as that time was kind of released, your recruitment took a step up?
Well, going to this offseason, I never ran a 40 before, so I didn't know, like, what my time was going to be. I was, like, I trained with him with my personal trainer, Aaron Woods, and he was like, you know, try going to 4.7, like, mid 4.6 will be good. And at Michigan State, I ran 4.51. Then, like, 2 weekends later, I ran 4.49. And I think that's what caught a lot of eyes.
It absolutely did. You went to the Northwest Showcase, and people knew who you were, but you weren't a dude yet. You weren't somebody that everybody knew. And you left that, and within a couple days, you had offers from Nevada, Utah State, and Oregon State. What did that mean to you after that performance to be a bona fide scholarship athlete?
It felt really good knowing that, like, all the hard work I've been putting in was paying off. And I just felt really blessed and fortunate to be put in this position, like, to have parents that could provide me with these opportunities and have people around me that support my dreams and my aspirations.
We're talking a class of 2022. Westview wide receiver Darius Clemens already has offers from Michigan State, Oregon State, and a number of other programs. You got a chance to visit Oregon State this past weekend. They didn't win the game, but for you, it's more about building relationships and things like that. What did you think of the trip, and did you get a chance to talk to the coaching staff much?
Yeah, right when I got there, I talked with Coach Smith and Coach Henson a little bit, and that was super nice to get to see them again. And Coach Mike Doctor toured me around a little bit and showed with me before the game. It was super nice just, like, taking in, like, what opening day is like in the Pac-12 in Corvallis.
You've got a couple years, and maybe this is a candid question or a tough – I don't mean to put you in a tough spot here, but – do you need to see, if you were going to end up going to Oregon State, would you want to see a win-loss record improvement by the time you got there, rather than, you know, the last couple of years they've been 1-11 and 2-10? Would you want to see them a little closer to bowl eligible before you'd really strongly consider them? Or do you feel like it's not about record, it's more about kind of fit and feel of a program?
I don't think it's more about record, but then again, I'm not close to making that decision yet right now. I think what I'm looking for is more somewhere like where, like, the major I want to do, like, where that's available, and somewhere I feel like it's the best fit for me, and, like, maybe play early. Some of my parents feel comfortable with me going.
You were invited to Oregon Saturday Night Live camp this summer for some of the best prospects on their board. You ended up having to travel. So you are making the trip now this weekend, at least last we talked. You still making that trip?
Yeah.
Excellent. This weekend. You're visiting Oregon this weekend. What are your thoughts heading into this visit? What do you want to see on your visit to Oregon?
I'm not really sure. I go into a lot of my visits pretty open-minded, just there to have fun and maybe get to talk to a few coaches and watch a football game. I think that's probably what I'm looking forward to the most. Watching the Ducks play is always fun. But I think hopefully I can have a conversation with Coach Cristobal. And I've never had the chance to talk to him personally, so that's something I'm looking forward to also, as well.
I've always wondered, with younger recruits, because you see it growing up and you see kids older than you and they go on recruiting visits and you see the picture on the sideline and you feel like that's cool. You see a picture of them in a uniform or with the coach and you think, man, that would be really, the first couple times, that would be really shocking. Like, I wouldn't know what to say and I'd feel uncomfortable. I'd get excited, but I'd feel pretty uncomfortable. When you went on those first couple visits and coaches wanted you to pose or wear the uniform or do all that stuff, is it a little bit overwhelming at first?
Not really. I'm a pretty outgoing person, so I just kind of took it all in and had fun with it.
And are you pretty social? I mean, are you somebody that is pretty comfortable, you know, chatting up the coaches and all that?
Yeah, I'm a pretty social person. My teachers in school don't like that too much, but...
Well, hopefully you're still getting good grades in school. I think I saw that you had pretty good grades.
Yeah.
What other visits, or do you have any other visits you want to take here? Obviously, you visited Oregon State. You're visiting Oregon this weekend. Do you have any other visits this fall that you really are excited about possibly taking?
I know I talked to my dad about maybe going back to the Midwest and watching, like, a Michigan State or Ohio State game, but I don't know if that's going to be a possibility for school and, like, the expenses and whatnot. But I know for sure we want to go up to Seattle and watch a UW game and maybe fly out to Boise and watch a Boise State game.
You have some ties to the Midwest. It's not just randomly you're excited about Michigan State or they offered you randomly. How did your relationship with Michigan State develop, and what is your interest in the Big Ten in that region?
Well, I grew up in DeWitt, Michigan, so that's like 15 minutes from Michigan State's campus. And we had planned a family trip there at the beginning of the summer, and my dad was like, oh, you want to go to Michigan State camp? And I was like, Yeah, sure, that would be fun. And one of my childhood best friends, he had a really good relationship with the Michigan State coaches, and he kind of, like, put me on with them, like, got me in connection with them, like, a little bit before the camp. So when I got there, they knew of me, and I just took the opportunity and made the most of it.
Awesome. What do you expect from this season from Westview? We'll get you out on this one. What are your expectations for your team this year and maybe in the coming years here?
I have really big expectations for my team, as I'm pretty sure the rest of my team does as well. Coach Atkinson, he really harped on, like, senior leadership this year, and a lot of our senior leaders stepped up, like London and Mills in particular, and I'm just kind of, still being a sophomore, I'm kind of, like, just following their lead, and I think they're going to lead us to the right place.
Excellent. Darius, thank you very much. Have fun on Friday night. Stay healthy and travel safe up to your down to Eugene from where you're at, down to Eugene, and have a good time at that game, that Oregon-Nevada game.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you. Pretty well spoken for being a class of 2022 kid. I've interviewed him before. I interviewed him last week and was so impressed with him. I knew he'd do well on the radio. He had good things to say, and I do think he's being a little bit careful with Oregon State, kind of saying, I'm looking for feel a little bit. I got the impression that winning is going to be a factor in his recruitment. That's what it sounded like to me anyway.
I can't imagine why it wouldn't be a factor in almost every single player's recruitment. I mean, I think one thing that we really forget about these guys is that they come from a winning culture most of the time when they come out of high school. Like, if you're going and playing Division I football, you're obviously one of the biggest fish in your pond. Now, that's kind of different maybe in Alabama or in California even, but, you know, right here in Oregon, man, hey, if you're playing D1, you're one of the biggest fish in the pond. That means that you're winning week in and week out. Like, you expect to win.
Yeah, and you look at it, and it is amazing in Oregon. The big-time prospects are often at, you know, a Central Catholic, and every once in a while you get, like, Keith Brown is the number one inside linebacker in the country in the class of 2021. He's at Lebanon. Can you imagine just Friday nights, the level of competition he faces? And I'm not ripping 5A football. I just mean there are some linemen starting for some of these not as good 5A programs that he can just absolutely run through. And the adjustment from that to then playing for a team where you'd potentially go 2-10 or 3-9, the kids don't want to do that. They want to win. They want to continue to have success. And I think Coach Smith showed some really positive signs. I know the defense still looks
bad.
Icky, awful, terrible, no good, very bad.
See, you got your thesaurus out there.
Very bad is not a thesaurus. Very bad. Wow, look at Nimick with the vocabulary with very
Nimick's
bad.
Journalism schools playing in.
Offensively, though, they look really interesting. And if they can get that defense figured out in the next year or two, they've got a chance to be pretty good. They do. I want to go over the Oregon high school football, the 6A top games that are being played around the state. Joining us next will be Pro Football Hall of Fame and National Preps Jordan Johnson, previewing the top three or four games around the state. We will also have a preview of the Power Rents game of the week. That is Lake Oswego at West Salem. Swag and I will be on the call on 1080 starting at 6:45 p.m. We'll give you the play-by-play. I'll be doing the color. And then after the game, we'll give you a recruiting update, scores from around the state, and more. But first, we got to get Jordan Johnson in here to talk a little week one action in Oregon 6A high school football. That's next. The Oregon high school football season starts Friday, tomorrow. I cannot believe it. I'm so excited. Here to discuss and break down the week one action is Pro Football Hall of Fame and National Preps Jordan Johnson. Jordan, what up, my guy?
What up, man?
How you been?
Good.
We talk like every 2 hours now that the football season, we talk about different lines we'd put on games and who we'd take in certain matchups. And we just did an all-state, our preseason all-state teams. You can check those out on OregonLive.com/recruiting. We did podcasts for the offense and defense. And you posted a first team, a second team, and an honorable mention team on BattlePrepWest.com. That was a lot of fun. I had a good time doing that. And we disagree.
Yeah, man, it's one of the...
And we disagree on some stuff, too.
Yeah, it'd be boring if we didn't disagree on some stuff.
Every once in a while. Lake Ridge at Tualatin. Listen, I know this isn't the marquee matchup in the sense that it's not Jesuit, Central Catholic, West Lynn, Lake Oswego, those big names. But this year, whoever wins this game is a legitimate contender for the state title and maybe a top five team by week two. Lake Ridge at Tualatin, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, other than Central at West Lynn, I mean, it's game of the week for sure. You have two top 10 teams, number 9 Lake Ridge at number 5 Tualatin. I give Tualatin a couple points. That's it. We talked earlier on Lake Ridge having those three transfers separate from this group of kids with a bunch of three-year starters. So a lot of people don't know about the three transfers. I mean, we're talking bubble D1 guys, and I mean, they're legit. So they could come in and beat a very, very good Tualatin team who has that trio that we talk about often.
I'm excited about seeing John Miller. I mean, the Oregon State commit, he was the co-TRL Defensive Player of the Year last year, and I think he's an early contender for 6A Defensive Player of the Year this year. Some people ding him for being not the tallest guy. He's not a 6'3", 6'4", linebacker. He's more 6'5", 6'1". If you're an Oregon State listener, why should they be optimistic about what John Miller could potentially bring to them on Saturdays starting next year?
So kudos to John Miller. He got that. He committed early, and a lot of people don't do that. I think he really self-assessed and did well. 6 foot, 6'1", you know, whatever you want to call it. Go watch some of his, you know, watch his dunking ability. Look at his overall athleticism. Oregon State scored with him, and they need to grab a couple more guys just like that. Maybe not necessarily in-state guys, but some of those top recruits that are going to commit early. So I think Oregon State did very well. We're talking the number 2 or 3, in my opinion, recruit in the state for that 2020 class. He's that good. So I love John Miller, obviously. And, you know, you got the Luke Marions and the Kainoa Sayers and the triple threat that they got coming back of senior. Kainoa didn't play last year, and he was first-team All-League as a sophomore. So that if the question for Tualatin is the line. If they can get some line play, they're going to have a shot to make a deep, deep run this year.
Central Catholic at West Lynn, two of the top 5 teams in the state. Regardless, listen, I work for the Oregonian and Oregon Live, and the early preseason prediction had West Lynn finishing 5th in the TRL. I have West Lynn 4th or 5th in the entire state. So I'm not real sure where that came from, but Central Catholic at West Lynn, huge matchup. Whoever wins this one immediately is in the discussion as a state title contender. Does whoever lose become a pretender, or can you really go that far in a week one matchup between two of the top 6 or 7 teams in the entire state?
So I got both of those guys in the semifinals. So at the end of the year, I've got West Lynn in the state title game. I think that highly of West Lynn. I've got them ranked number 3 to start the season. And I just don't think a lot of people know. They lost a couple high profile guys, the Ethan Longs and those type of kids. But that junior class that they have dominated from youth on up, and I mean dominated, like it wasn't close. And these Casey Towers and the individuals they have coming back, these senior leaders, most importantly, the line. Like West Lynn has dudes across the board, 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 275 on average across the board, offense and defense. That's going to be the difference in this game, in my opinion. As deep as Central is with a bunch of Division I kids on the perimeter, they do not have the line that can compete with West Lynn. So, you know, this is something I call a pick'em. Like, you know, most people are like, what do you mean? Central should be the automatic. Not even close. I think I got West Lynn 3, Central Catholic 4 to start the year in my top 10, and I'll lean West Lynn to win that ballgame.
Yeah, you know what? West Lynn at home to me sounds pretty good. I know there are a lot of people that I've talked to that like high school football, think Central Catholic win that one. You and I are both in agreement there, at least, that West Lynn beats Central Catholic. For Central Catholic, they play Eastside Catholic next week. No disrespect to Central Catholic, but Eastside Catholic, I saw an article in the Seattle Times recently that asked openly, is Eastside Catholic the best team in the history of the state of Washington? They've got G. Scott Jr. committed to Ohio State, a wide receiver. They have the number one prospect in the nation. In the nation for the class of 2021, I would butcher his name. It's like JT Tuiamau, defensive tackle. He should eat things up. They've got Sam Adams II, who's a running back committed to Washington, but he had offers from Alabama and LSU. If they lose in week one, they probably start the year 0-2. This Central Catholic team, when they came in as freshmen, I know throughout the state, when people who follow junior high football and middle school football and the upcoming kids, people thought not a matter of if the Central Catholic team could win a state title, it's how many they'd win. And they have not made a state semifinal with this nucleus. If Central Catholic doesn't at least make the state final, is this group collectively what they've achieved? And whether it's the coaches or whether it's the players, is that a little bit disappointing for what they thought they would be if that in fact happens?
I mean, I think it'd be hard to say that it wouldn't be. I mean, you have, look at your perimeter. It's all Division I kids other than, you know, Cade, who's a 5'10" quarterback. So, and a 4-year returning starter. So it's not like he's lacking experience. So you've got the dudes, it's a line thing. What you just referenced with the East Side Catholic team, I mean, that is 100% true. You got 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 300 pounds across the line. And then you've got JT, the number one player in America for his class, and then DJ Rogers, then one of the top three tight ends in America for his class. That's your line and tight ends for Eastside Catholic. So when Central is not bringing back, you know, a deep line or, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you can have the best perimeter in the world. If that is going to be, you go look at the roster yourself for Eastside Catholic, it is beyond a mismatch up front. So it's going to be really tough. CC needs to get that win against West Lynn just to split. That's just brutal honesty.
It's the Power Rents Game of the Week. We will have the coverage, Swag and I, starting at 6:45 p.m. on 1080 The Fan. We'll preview that game. We'll preview the Week 1 action. Obviously, we'll be there on the call. And then we will have a post-game show and a recruiting wrap-up. The game, Lake Oswego at West Salem. Again, Swag and I will be on the call, and we will have a post-game wrap of all of the Week 1 action. Lake Oswego, the defending champs, they return a lot. They lost a lot, but they return a lot against a West Salem team that lost its quarterback, its superstar running back wide receiver Anthony Gould, and arguably one of the best defensive players in the entire state. What do we look for in a Lake Oswego-West Salem matchup, and are there any prospects maybe we should check out if the score maybe gets a little out of hand?
So two of the top coaches ever in the state of Oregon, Steve Corey and Sean Stanley, you know, love both those guys, do a phenomenal job. We're blessed to have them in Oregon. That said, West Salem loses a very, very talented perimeter. They do bring back two of the top five 2021s, in my opinion, Holden Whipple and Anthony Pugh, both sizable kids. They'll be high-profile Pac-12 type kids. Lake Oswego's loaded. I mean, they got almost everyone back from last year. They did have a nice senior class, but from, you know, Casey Filkins to Thomas Descartes to Joe Hudson to Marshall McGuire, all those guys coming back from a 14-0 team. J.J. Wooden, one of the top QBs in the 2021 class, takes over after starting for two seasons at Westview. He's only a junior. So they have dudes, like, everywhere. At the tackles, 6'5", 320, 6'5", 330, Tiger Shanks and Bailey Jaramillo. So it's not like they're lacking from a size standpoint. So Lake Oswego, I mean, if we're putting a hypothetical type spread, I mean, I'll go 30 on that, and that sounds kind of disrespectful, but that's, once again, just kind of what I think. So Lake Oswego at West Salem, I don't think it's going to be close. That's nothing against West Salem because they're traditionally one of the better teams in the state. Lake is just that good.
I like this pick a spread thing, and we're making it public. We've done this behind the scenes for a few years now and picked the games on a spread we agree on and just kind of see how it goes. I think from now on the Andrew Nimmick Recruiting Podcast that we put out every week, when we give a recap of the, we'll give a recap of the action, then we'll preview the next week's action. Let's not only talk about the games, let's say where we'd put the spread. I think it'd be fun.
Dude, you know I'm all about spread, so I'm all over that.
We are spread nerds. Jordan Johnson, where can we find your work other than obviously everywhere? Be a little more specific. Pro Football Hall of Fame, National Preps, Battle Prep West, you're everywhere. Give us the best place to find you.
Well, yeah, battleprepwest.com, you know, the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the World Bowl is becoming, you know, it's a really good thing if anybody's interested. And obviously a lot of the stuff that nationalpreps.com, a lot of stuff that you and I do, you know, it's been really good. So I appreciate the platform.
Sounds good, JJ. Thank you, man. I'll talk to you very soon.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Dude, Jordan Johnson's done rankings for like 15 years. He talked to you after last show because he was in last show. I think it was last show. Maybe it was two shows ago. And he was like, hey, I had you ranked so-and-so. And he knew where he had you ranked.
Dude, he had me clocked. He knew stuff about me from my high school career that I have long forgotten. That guy has a high school football preps dictionary stuffed.
He's an encyclopedia. It's unreal. Marcus Greaves was the host before this, and he rattled off his stats. and his honors. Like, you were first team All-State in 2000, whatever it was. I could not believe it. And Mark is like, oh, yeah, you ranked me like the number three running back in the state, and nobody even knew who I was. And he's like, yeah, man, I was telling coaches about you and everything. It's like, oh, my goodness. Jordan's like that with everybody. Everybody we meet that played high school football, he remembers their best handful of plays, or he remembers full-on stats. He, you know, Tim Tawa had that record-setting year. He's memorized Tim Tawa's stats from that year. He knew how many completions Elijah Molden gave up in 7-on-7 tournaments in his junior season, in his senior season, how many receptions he allowed, and how many yards, just off the top of his head. He's an incredible resource, and that's why we have him on every week on the Andrew Nimmick Recruiting Podcast to break down the Oregon high school football action.
Now, only if he could learn the human anatomy, he'd be an incredible doctor. Think about that. What if that knowledge could have been applied? I mean, it's all about your interest, right? I mean, he's obviously an extremely intelligent person. He just decided to point his interest towards recruiting.
Well, no, he has a job, and he does really, really well in his job, too.
Is he a doctor?
No, we'll talk about he's doing well for himself, for sure. He's
so
doing
he's
very
a doctor.
Well. No, he's not a doctor. Will, why are you farts and doctors? Where? What's going on today? You're just watching the NFL game, aren't you?
It's not true.
Yeah, we'll
watching Mitchell Trubisky just screw it up.
Oh, that was a bobbled pick. Right now, Green Bay leads Chicago 7-3 in the fourth quarter with 13:35 left. I think this is going to get reviewed, but we just had a pass that the receiver almost caught as he was diving. It popped up in the air, hit the safety, and then the corner picked it off and ran out of bounds. It is off his side. Then off the safety, and it touched the ground. It's going to be ruled incomplete. Green Bay leads Chicago 7-3 early in the fourth quarter. We'll wrap up the show next. So last year at this time, I was actually on a break because I just had a baby. Well, my wife just had a baby.
Yay!
Yay! She's not quite 13 months now. We call her Moochie. Her name's Jordan.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I was dealing with newborn baby stuff. So at the end of the year, completely seriously, I was like, Chantel, I think I've watched less football this year than any year since I was like 9 years old. And she's like, are you serious? Go over it. It's like, okay. I couldn't watch the Thursday night game because I had the show. I covered the game of the week for 1080 on Friday night. So that's one game. I always watched the Duck game and the Beaver game. So that was three games a weekend. I always watched a normal morning and afternoon NFL game. So that's five. I watch Sunday night football and I watch Monday night football. That's seven games.
That's a lot of football.
That was my low since I was nine.
That's a lot of football to watch a game. You know what I mean?
I don't like red zone. I like to watch the whole game.
All right. That's fair. I will say I really don't get as much from red zone as I do if I'm just watching either Sunday night football or I'm watching Fox's like America's Game of the Week or something.
If you can't watch the setup of drives and how things develop and how players play through the ebbs and flow of a whole game, you know what? I'll watch SportsCenter or check out Twitter if I want to watch highlights. I don't want to just watch highlights. I know the fantasy football fan loves highlights. Fine. I get it. I'm not anti-red zone. I get the appeal of it. It's just not the way I want to take in my football on Sunday. That's not the way I want to watch pro football.
Here's what I'll say red zone is actually pretty awesome, is the beginning, like the first couple games in the morning.
Yeah, I get that, because there's not a lot going on, and yeah. It kind of quickly gets you going.
Yeah, kind of gets you what you need. But then once you hit that, like, that Fox game that, you know, has that kickoff that's, what, like 1 or noon or something like that, that's when I want to, like, hunker down with one game and just stay put.
Do you have a team?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm such an effing homer for the state that because we don't have an actual team here, you know, I don't do the Seahawks
okay.
thing.
Yeah.
I go between games.
So I am not a true fan of any team. I think too analytically. I don't have a preference. I don't care about Ducks or Beavers. I mean, it's great if they do well because I care about the state of Oregon. The Blazers, it's great because they're here. But if they don't make the playoffs, I don't care. And I'm not going to watch them a ton. The team that I actually care about, and I'm still rational about, is the San Francisco 49ers. And there's kind of that buzz that they're going to be good. And guess what? They're not. They have no proven receivers. Jimmy G was banging porn stars this offseason.
That was last offseason.
Whatever. He's not going to be ready.
But I should say that if you're banging porn stars, you're probably doing it every season.
You know, it's weird that this is actually what we talked about before the show, and now it's how we end the show. I don't know why. I had to do something with Souk, I think. Isaac and Souk. I don't know how it
that,
came up.
Sir, is what we call in the broadcast world a full circle.
There it is. Tune in tomorrow night, 6:45 p.m. on 1080 The Fan. Swag and I will be doing the Power Rents Game of the Week, Lake Oswego at West Salem. Talk to you then. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us for Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, the show for college recruiting fans with the inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. Read Andrew's latest recruiting news in the Oregonian and Oregon Live, and listen for Andrew's updates throughout the week here on Portland's Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.